Good evening. Wonderful to see everyone on this first, our first Thursday of the new year. And I wish you all a healthy, full, fruitful year to come, however that looks for each of you. And it At the same time, it's individual for each of us. It's also collective. And we, as a community, we cultivate this health and wealth of being together. And so I also wish that for our community that we do that. I read something that a Japanese master, sort of mid early 20th century, I think, Zen master had said when talking about the importance of community, in fact, of Sangha. He was head of a monastery, so of course he referred to it in monastic language, but he said, a monastery is like a charcoal fire. And if you put in just one coal, just one piece, the fire will go out fairly quickly. But if you gather many small coals and each of them is glowing, just a little bit, then the fire will flare up. And he said, in the same way, every one of us can contribute a little bit of body mind, a little bit of our intention to awaken, a little bit of our understanding of the wholeness of life, and that will enable our sangha to thrive, like a fire that has many coals in it. And it also, this also applies not only in a sangha, but the community of your family, the community around you, community of your city, of your neighborhood, of your professional world, whatever it is. And, the greater community of human beings and the world that we live in, that we share, and all of that. And when I read this, I thought, this is very appropriate. The same is true, though. The same thing applies. So we apply this to, a fire that brings warmth and gathers strength and power of awakening. The same thing applies, however, when little coals are put together and a fire of delusion is stoked. That if there are many coals that are put together with aiming to cultivate delusion, the same thing happens. It flares up. It's not just one goal, right? It's the point of this is that the collective is so important, is crucial. And we can see this in our world around us today. How the deluded behavior leads to so much suffering, and that much of that deluded behavior would not be possible if so many little coals were not stoking it. And as a, if we look at it broadly as a culture, we're engaged in, a big deluded practice of consuming, attaining, thinking that we're profiting, becoming, attaching to self and image and fame, and that is possible because so many coals are involved in that project. Project is the big word these days. Everything is a project, everybody has a project. Sports teams are a project. activities or a project, which, why not? That refers to something collective, which is interesting that people are focusing on the collective. However, we can focus on the collective with an aim to destroy those who aren't part of our collective, or we can focus on a collective project that aims to bring the well-being to all, whether they are focusing on the same project as us or not. Because we know that the project of life, of being, for us is awakening. Doesn't mean that everybody is focused on that, but we know that everyone wants to be happy. We know everyone wants to be healthy. We know everyone wants to be loved. And these are the basics of our practice as well. They don't need to sit zazen and, come to Dharma talks. Obviously, that doesn't appeal to a lot of people, But it does. That's not the point. Our practice and the fire that we're building is not about making the entire universe sit with us the way we sit and practice the way that we practice. May this year be one of coming together, of building our fire together, maintaining it, of helping to cultivate this path so that others can find it, however that path looks for them. Because if we see if we shine the radiance of being, of our true being on delusions, so that we can clearly see our delusions, see where we are deluded, and then no longer indulge in that deluded behavior of separation. That's basically the basic delusion. Then we automatically want to help others do that too. We don't know what that will look like, though, what that helping others will look like. Collectively, however, we have a better chance of helping others, helping ourselves and helping others. Someone who I talk about regularly, Eve Marco, who's a Zen teacher and who is the widow of Bernie Glassman, wrote the other day that she wrote this blog post that was, "Thank you, Stephen Miller." And Stephen Miller is like the brains, the really, really deeply deluded brains behind the whole Trump project, right? MAGA project. And he just the other day went and said really outrageous things on national television in the United States. And so she's thanking Stephen Miller. That's a great title to put on a blog because everyone who reads her blog would normally not thank Stephen Miller for anything, right? So she basically says, "Thank you, Stephen Miller, for saying exactly what you believe and saying it with no, not hiding, not making it sound like something else. Thank you for really illuminating your project." I shouldn't use project, but that's the word of this the night, right? So illuminating your position without making it sound what it's not. And she basically pointed it as that helps her then to, okay, so what is mine? What do I really believe? What is my position? What is my aim with my practice, without disguising it as being something else? Even saying, "Well, I need to open my heart to all beings," or something. Well, yeah, and what does that mean, really? And what does that look like? So can we even say that? Okay, so can we shine our radiance, our radiance being our true self, our basic awareness, our original face, our original mind, mu, all of these things that we call it. Can we shine that on the moment and see what we're not seeing? So she's hearing Stephen Miller and seeing what she's not seeing and hearing what she's not hearing. Hearing what's being said, but because we so deeply engage with just things as they are, we can also hear what has not been said. And sometimes what has not been said is what we're not saying to ourselves, about ourself, about the others, about the situation. About the keeping the fire of this community going, whatever, however you want to, whatever it is that's unsaid, it can also be what's unsaid in the world at large. At the same time, our experience of our inner world, so we, we always, there's the Dogen phrase that says, turn the light inside. Look here first, right? So our experience of this world structures our experience of the outer world. So if we're, if we, or the thing that I have on one of my rakusus, which is when I look inside and see that I'm nothing, that's wisdom. When I look outside and see that I'm everything, that's love. But in order to look outside and see that I'm everything, I have to first look inside and see that I'm nothing, that I'm not who I think I am. And that experience of looking inside and seeing who I truly am not, let's say, structures then my experience of looking outside. Because I am not just this one thing I think I am, I look around and I see that I am everything. I'm even Stephen Miller. I'm the ICE agent who shot the woman in the face in her car when she had just dropped her kid off at school. I'm also that person who died in her car. I'm all of us sitting here on the screen. I am the purple flowers by the roadside. I'm my cat who climbs all over me during sitting. I'm the snow and the ice and the rain and the wind and the brilliant sunshine and the clouds. I'm all of that. I can only see that, however, because I've looked inside and seen that I'm not just what I think I am. I'm not who I think I am. And that then, that looking inside and seeing I'm nothing, that then structures this quote I read said, how we experience the outer world. And in fact, it's not really an inner and an outer. We also see that the appearance of inside is different, but it's one. And this new year has been oddly colored by a series of deaths around me. A Dharma brother from Dana, one of my Dharma sister's mother, Corrine Roshi, her mother died. Someone else, a student whose partner's daughter died. Anything is possible. Everything is possible at every moment. And in these deaths, there is also something new, something renewed. It's a new passage. It's completely different than what it was before the moment when that person died. For those around them, for our experience of that person, my Dharma brother who died, you know, so I was thinking about him, and I came to this really experience of him that I hadn't really thought so much about. And had he not died, I wouldn't have had that experience. You know, I wouldn't have thought of him in that way and looked into what we had shared, you know, in the years of practice. And he also was a poet, and so we shared a deep love of poetry. And so it's something new. You know, for the Dana Sangha, he was a pillar of the Sangha. The Sangha would be different now without him. And close family members, you know, if they die. So in Korin Roshi's family, now, of course, her mother's gone. And so that something new is there. And if we see it as something new, that helps us to acknowledge whatever is coming up, whatever we're feeling around it, whatever that loss feels like, whatever that sadness feels like, whatever that relief. Sometimes it can be a relief because the person has suffered, or and sometimes we feel guilty being relieved. But if we can just see this as a new passage, like the new year, we can open to it and just welcome whatever it is that arises. And our experience of the inner world can help us experience that. And so this image of the fire and the coals. So we are each one of these coals in the fire, but within ourselves, we also have a number of coals. You know, we can add to the fire within ourselves with different coals, different pieces of who we are, different pieces of the moment, and bring them together and keep them, cultivate them, you know, as we would like keep a fire going. You know, in a fireplace, we throw in a log so it keeps going. And we do that with our practice. So we come and sit, that's like adding a coal. We go to a day of practice, that's adding a coal. We go to a study group. We sit on our own. We keep stoking the fire, which then helps us to see more clearly. It feeds the radiance, which then shines light on not only delusion, but on beauty, on love, on enlightened behavior, you know? It's the new year is a great time for this, right? We feel like we're starting new. Okay, so let's start and we'll build a new fire, something like that. Joa told me that it is at his sitting last night at his house, there were two new people. It's January. You know, new people start new things in January. Who knows if they will come again, but it's important to honor that energy of the of building a new fire, starting again. It's a new passage. The old year has died. The old year is gone. We use this structure of year and day and hour and minute and all of that to help us function in this everyday world, because actually there is no different year. There's no different minute or hour. It's all the same. It's all one, but it manifests differently. The circumstances change. So it's not as if one is old and one is new, but it is. That's how we identify it in this world of form. Like there's inside and outside. There's you and me, and yet there isn't. So, as I was sitting before the talk, of course I had the cat like moving all over the place. But I try to just let that be part of my sitting and just welcome what arises. And see what comes up. So I didn't know what I would say to you. I didn't know. I knew that I would say something, but I didn't know what I would say. I knew that because we're in early January, this is the first time we've been together for 2 weeks. I knew that there was something about that that was happening, but I didn't know what exact how to express that really. And we all can experience that. We all came here tonight not knowing what would arise. And the more we sit, the more we add coals to the fire of awakening, the more we can experience that of just not knowing. Well, for some time there's been a need for some work in my garden, because the house behind my garden is falling down. And so there's a big legal fight going on, but it's with the city hall and the people who own the house. We're not involved in the legal fight, but because the people aren't doing anything about the house falling down, the owners of the house, the city has taken over and is hired someone to come and bolster the wall from our garden and from the other neighbor's garden so that the whole thing doesn't collapse and cause bodily harm and destroy the house next to them and, destroy our trees and hurt someone, whatever, the cats, whatever. Anyways, they've been supposed to come for weeks. And then they couldn't do it before the holidays, of course. I knew it wasn't going to happen. And then they decided to come yesterday, but there was a huge snowstorm in Paris yesterday, so they couldn't come. And finally, they came today. So they came and they were supposed to just measure, but they decided to start the work. And as they were doing the work, my husband kept going out there and kept looking out the window and saying, "Oh, it's not at all what I thought it would be. I didn't imagine it was going to be like that. It's basically destroying the back of our garden, all the grass, and digging it up because they have to put in these huge buttresses to buttress the wall and whatever." And he kept saying, "It's not what I thought it was going to be. It's not what I thought it was going to be." And this was so revealing of, we have an idea of how things will be, and it never is that. It never will be that. I'm not pointing my finger at him, but it was just a really telling moment. I hadn't really thought about what it was going to be. I was just nervous and I wanted them to hurry up and do it so the wall didn't fall down. But I didn't think what it would really look like. He had thought a lot about what it would really look like. And so he was just devastated by what it was really looking like, which didn't correspond at all to his idea. So you see, if we have this really fixed idea, then chances are we will be disappointed. If we think that we will awaken and become Shakyamuni Buddha tomorrow, well, probably won't. Because we don't even know what that means. And as long as we have that idea, it's not going to happen. The idea is not going to happen. It also helps us then to just welcome whatever it is. So I'm much more relaxed. I actually haven't gone out there because they're coming back tomorrow. So I told my husband, "I'm not even going to look at it till they're finished. I'll just go out there and see what it's like after, you know?" So I can't really say if I'm disappointed or not. I'm not really disappointed because I didn't have any expectation. So I would be very disappointed if the wall fell down anyway, after they've put up the buttresses, because then my expectation is that, okay, we're safe now. If the whole building collapsed and half of it in my garden and half of it in the neighbor's garden, and maybe some of it in Donna. So in because the Zen Center is next door. Just an example of how we expect things to be a certain way and they don't, they're not. We make life so much easier for ourselves if we drop those expectations. You know, we can have an expectation about something in our backyard, and we can also have an expectation about the world being enlightened. And you know, our practice tells us that everyone already is enlightened, but they don't know it. And we s especially see the aspect of they don't know it at work in the world. And if we had this fixed idea that everybody should be enlightened and awake and not behave with delusion, well, then we become devastated. So, can we keep feeding this fire of our practice, each of us our own fire, and then contributing our fire to the collective fire, to help us all experience the, you know, the singularity and the beauty of this moment, even amid all of the what we think of as devastation. But, you know, it really is a wonderful life. All of it, you know, or as Daido Lori Roshi used to say, the whole catastrophe. The whole, or Dogen, one continuous mistake. Because as soon as we start saying there's a mistake or there's something good or something bad, as soon as we say something is good, then we are implying something is bad. But if we see it as all just one continuous mistake, it means nothing's right ever. But it also means nothing's ever wrong. So maybe I will stop there, and that's a lot for the new year, and hear what you would like to share or where you are at this new year, and or questions or something else. Debbie.
Hello and Happy New Year, everybody. Maybe a little hymn to our Sangha, speaking of which, because I was in Belgium for New Year's at Frank Roshi's, I think it's called the Belgian Zen Sangha. I don't think it has a specific, he wanted to make sure that the minute somebody looked it up on Google, they'd hit the B with Belgian. And it was, I don't know, I was going to say nice. Nothing's really nice. It was all the things that retreats are and more, with a great big zendo with no heat sometimes, or so much heat sometimes that we were sweating, and oh, 30 or 40 people. And Frank's Dharma talks, which are always full of paintings and references and history and echoing. And at the same time, I haven't been up there for a while, and I was up there quite a bit in the beginning of his sangha, because he didn't really have anybody else except me and a few people from Ghent, so we were kind of his fan club while he was getting going and everything. And I hadn't been back in maybe 8 or 9 years, I don't think. So it was all different because I've been experimenting, I've been living with us in those last years. First of all, I like us better. That's number one. And number two, I was, having said that, I, in the comparison, I was thinking, what really is helpful to me now? Different folks and strokes, and different tastes and everything, but the fact that we come from all these different places, and that sometimes in the morning, I mean, now I can't remember his name all of a sudden, the guy who's in Tokyo, or no, he's not in Tokyo, but he's somewhere in the Far East, and Laura's in Norway and stuff. The fact that we're from so many different places, bringing that into the fire that we make is really important to me. One, because my childhood was like that. Well, my whole life pretty much was like that. That's true, actually. It started in my childhood, but it went on. So I'm more comfortable in that kind of environment. Whereas the Belgian Sangha is Belgian, almost to a man. And they're very comfortable together, and they obviously really like their Sangha, but it was just so apparent to me how much I missed. Missed is not the right word. They have a whole set of references. It's funny because it's 3 hours from here, Belgium, but it is so different in Flanders. And they have a whole series of references when we were allowed to talk. It was very silent. It was pretty disciplined. They have a whole series of references and things that, and they translated for me whenever I was around, so, and said it was no problem. They were used to it. But there was this feeling that I couldn't really connect to their cultural story in a way that I've never felt in Portugal. I certainly don't feel on the screen, as I say on the screen. There are at least three nationalities every morning, so no problem. It's just, it was so, struck me so strongly how much I really appreciate the composition of our Sangha. And the fact that there's input from different places. Personally, I've always felt in my personal relationships that that makes for, don't know if tolerance is the right word, but since we're all a little bit wary that we might offend someone else's culture, not offend, but that we're careful of each other's culture, it makes for an openness that they don't have to practice. I mean, it's just as if they all grew up together. They even look alike. A lot of them, they're a whole bunch of very, actually, those guys were not Belgian, they were Dutch. Very tall, in their 30s, and at times I kind of get them a little bit confused. Very enthusiastic, but very Dutch, very Flemish. So it was really an eye-opener to me that, as, I mean, I've appreciated our, the international aspect of our Sangha from the very beginning, but this at Christmas time, at New Year's, it really just hit me in the face. And the other thing is maybe a detail, but I really didn't like it. We sat the whole weekend face to the wall. No, not weekend. It was 5 days. At first, I thought it was just a day. Except for the morning, one sit in the morning and one sit in the evening, we were facing the wall. Fortunately, I had picked my spot. I didn't know this was going to happen with a great big bay window because the Zendo has different. The other guys got the wall. I got the bay window, and I had. I don't know if you've been to Belgium. It's all flat with this humongous sky, and clouds. I swear, it was like being visited by animals from the jungle. There were hippopotamus clouds, and there were alligator clouds. And then 2 minutes later, you look up, and it was all, of course, something else. So it was, I mean, it was spectacular at times. But I miss looking at people a lot. I kept thinking, I feel so lonely. The fact of being face to face is, I prefer. Let's put it that way. So that's my report on the Belgian Sangha, and we're all invited whenever we want, and they're very nice and everything else. Just you're nicer.
Hey everyone, good year 2026 for you all. I was hearing Amirashi talking about our fixed ideas and expectations, and though I didn't think it over the day, the first thing I hear this morning when I saw my mother, because it was late and she didn't get up. She was still in bed. She said, "Oh, I think I would like to stay in bed for the whole day because it's really cold in here." And it was the first time I looked at her, and it was as if she's 92. It was as if it seemed she was giving up. Something was really, and it struck me for a while, but then everything went well and it was a regular day. But when we are, I am here hearing and listening to the Dharma talk, I realized I have this expectation she would live forever. Though I know it was not possible. So I don't know. I think things are changing quickly, not only in the outside world, but with her and how she's moving around the world. She still does the same routine every day, but I think the comprehension of the things, and she doesn't hear very well. Things are changing really not for the better way. So it puts me in this kind of position that really life is always changing, and there is nothing to do. It is what it is. It will be what it will be. So, but it was different this morning, yeah. So, for me, for this year, it started really well. A friend came, not to my house here in the country where I am, but to very near to a place. She comes every year. She lives in France, but she's Portuguese. And she called me. I was not expecting her. "Oh, come and see you." "Okay, I will meet you there." Then we set up the place where we would meet, but every 5 minutes everything was changing. And I was really late. And when I was crossing the river, there is a river there, the river Nebo, and a nose. We are having a project to do something with an exhibition that will be called the river. And I was crossing the river to meet her, and I noticed, because I was in a hurry, what I can do in a hurry, because I am moving very slowly, but for me it was in the hurry. And I was noticing those two young girls that were coming to me. And as we approached, they stopped and they, "I would like to, can I, I would like to ask you a question." And they made the question. It was, "What are you expecting for the new year?" And they are very young, very bright, and very really aiming to listen what and I was in a different mood, and I stopped and kind of I stopped and I was totally there, and I looked at them. "Well, I really don't know. But for instance, do you think you would like to be, do you have faith and would like that things would go better with humanity?" And this second question really drops me. Well, I don't know, I said, I don't know. Humankind always seems to be like it is today for me. And as I was answering, it was their turn to be, oh, she's not, she has no faith in mankind. What is she saying? It was like, do you believe in a creator? No, I don't. We are the, like, it was really funny, but I stood there for a quarter, 15 minutes or more, because I was even later when I arrived to see my friend. And but it was like, then I told them, well, I am Buddhist, I don't believe in a creator. Oh, and they wanted to know more about, so if there is no, well, it was a really, but the thing is that we exchange really almost states of mind, it was not arguments or mine is better than yours or something. It was like arguments, and every time I was really struck about the questions they ask, because it made me to think and feel, well, what is it for me that they are asking? And it was very good, these 15 minutes. And we almost get very bright eyes, the three of us, when we are saying goodbye and things like it was very good for me, this beginning of the year, because it was so unexpected. So, well, I don't know why I choose this to share with you, but it is this little bit of 15 minutes that was very, it seemed, it is very important to me that I was struck about the questions about two very young girls. They are very young, 20, 24, and I think that they wanted to give me a piece of paper. I didn't accept it. I think they are this, what do we call it in, I don't know in English, but well, they are Protestants and there's something.
Jehovah's Witness, maybe.
Yeah, those, yeah. Maybe because of the kind of the paper they are going to give me at the beginning, yeah. Because I didn't believe so much in what is this humankind. I do and I do not, I don't know. Yeah. Thank you. I have a question, Amy Roshi. Is your mother better?
She's not worse. You know, it's a long process because she's 97. You know, so she's, and she broke her leg, so it's a long process. But she's not, you know, she's making progress, which is good. Thank you. Thank you. Grisha.
Happy New Year, everyone. Everything good for you in 2026. I don't really have New Year's. Don't remember the name. I usually have that more after the summer, at the beginning of school. In January, I love to be with my family. I went with my kids away. And now in January, it's cold in Lisbon. It's not snowing or that, but I feel a bit like hibernating. This week particularly, I started to work and I want to be at home, cozy. And yesterday I saw a documentary about the song "We Are the World, We Are the Children," and it was something. It catch my eyes, and I saw, yeah, I'm going to see this. I immediately understand. I would love to see this. This is a moment, and I related a bit with what Roshi was saying with the collective fire, and Bob Geldof at the beginning with all these stars. Entered and just to put them on the mood, focusing on the work they were doing, he told about the people in Africa that don't have nothing, and maybe it's difficult for us to relate, but we are talking about they don't have water. It's more than food. They don't and they immediately they the star groups, strike out and stopped a bit. And they re really worked together. It was a big hit. It was a collective strength, very, very beautiful in the 80s. And yeah, it put me, in that mood that you feel elevated as being part of humankind. And I thought, yeah, nice way to start this week. I'm without the kids, my first week of the year, starting to work and being lazy under the blankets at night. That starts really soon because it's too cold. And yeah, I think it's a good set for this year to maintain the fire of our Sangha. Let it radiant to everyone, and may we all be there. Thank you, everyone.
Anna.
Hello, everybody. Good year. I want to share an experience I had yesterday with this place where CEL works, which is a kind of cultural center. In this place, there is different activities, and yesterday it was the shore, koru. How do you say koru? Shore. They sing. Shore.
Choir.
Is that the name?
Choir.
A
How do you say
choir.
choir?
Choir. So there is a big choir. They also play some music, but the aspect that was more strong is that we had made percurso, oh my English. We had made a way outside in the streets. With this group, and we it was something like 50 people, and there is a tradition that is called Janeiras, to sing the Janeiras, which is to sing something for the new year, and they stop in the different places like cafes, restaurants, the house of someone, and they sing for these people that are there. Or they, as this quarter is very international, they stop, for example, in the Indian groceries, or in the Asian restaurants, or African restaurants, things like that. And so she told me, come, it's very nice. So I did. It was 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. And I was so amazed because, you know, the energy of these people, it was so strong. Of this group, of these 50 people, young, old, children, dogs, instruments. It was something like something to give us hope that it's possible to spread good feelings and with the in a very simple way, but in a very strong way. And when we stopped, they would sing so strongly, and they it was like they were singing, but it was also a bit like a theater because they were so expressive and so in the mood of what they were doing, you know, so concentrate. Especially, you know, I mean 50 people, but the group of the sing the people who sing, they are not 50, they are less, but they were these people who came together. And sometimes the group stopped the traffic, but it was not in purpose, it was just because it happened. Nobody argued. The drivers would go out of the car and say, please get out of the road. I want to go. And we will stop and open space. It's possible. It's possible to be very energetic and very positive with nothing. And well, it was a very beautiful way of because it marks the beginning of the day, this kind of singing. And it's also important because of what Debbie said about people, because there are different nationalities, you know, and this adds very strong energy, really. It's true. I felt it very strong yesterday. And that's it. That's a sign of hope in this crazy time. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, a choir like that is a wonderful example of the different coals coming together to build this fire. Because one voice is very different, can also be fabulous, but several voices to many voices together is something completely different. Well, we're almost out of time. If someone would like to add something, you can. Otherwise, maybe we will stop here and move into our evenings, wherever we are.
Just a correction, the guy's name is Tyler and he's not in Tokyo, he's in Hong Kong. It's over there somewhere.
So, thank you for joining your voices in this fire of our Thursday evening, and hope to continue benefiting from your warmth and your flames and your glow as we go on together. Thank you.